Well, the Tokyo Olympics have brought some unexpected gold medals for countries and teams which rarely, if ever, see their athletes on the podium. Yeah, we're going to take a look at some of the teams which have won events despite having little history of Olympic success. Two countries have won their first ever gold medals, and a very young country has declared itself a judo powerhouse at these games. Matt Bevan's been taking a look. Hi, Matt.
G'day, Fran. Look, let's start with the countries winning their first ever gold medals. Bermuda, the British overseas territory on an Atlantic island, which competes independently at the Olympics, has won its first ever gold. The winner is Flora Duffy, who won the women's triathlon yesterday. She's an established force in triathlon, educated in the UK and the US, and a winner of several international competitions over the last 8 years. She won gold at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games in 2018. Though she had to battle an approaching typhoon in wind and driving rain to win in Tokyo. So Bermuda, it's a self-governing territory of 65,000 people, so not necessarily a big surprise that they haven't won gold before, but here is a surprise. Up until these games, the Philippines, a country of 110 million people, had never won gold, despite competing in the Olympics for 97 years. That changed on Monday when Heidelin Diaz defeated the world record holder in the women's 55-kilogram weightlifting category to take gold. She is a Philippines Air Force servicewoman. She has previously been named as an enemy of the administration of President Rodrigo Duterte, although they're very supportive of her now, saying how proud of they are of her achievement in Tokyo. She's also been away from home for more than a year. She was in Malaysia when the pandemic began and hasn't been allowed to return to the Philippines since. Her family have been managing the weightlifting gym that she built in her Mindanao hometown for local kids to train in. She built that with her winnings from previous competitions. She said, "To the young generation in the Philippines, please dream high." Those are great stories, Fran, but they're examples of individual achievement. The story I want to really highlight is a group effort and a sign of how a seed like that can really grow into something quite incredible. If you're looking at the medal tally yesterday morning, you would have seen Australia sitting neck and neck with a surprising competitor, Kosovo. Kosovo has won two gold medals at the Games, which Australia had also won two gold medals, which is why we were sitting next to each other. Now we've overtaken them. But those two gold medals weren't even Kosovo's first, despite this being only the second Games they're competing in. Let me give you the backstory here. Kosovo, of course, has only existed as an independent entity since this happened 13 years ago.
The deputies of the Kosovo Assembly today, on the 17th of February 2008, have expressed their will, and through them, the will of the Kosovo people, that Kosovo be an independent, sovereign, and democratic state.
Kosovo's journey to independence was, of course, a very difficult one.
Kosovo has unilaterally declared itself independent of Serbia, and the new country's ethnic Albanians are partying on the streets of the capital. The US and Britain will do all they can to help the country they wrested from Belgrade in 1999. But Russia will block the new state becoming a nation at the UN, and many expect Serbia to impose some economic sanctions and perhaps even cut off supplies of water and electricity.
The two-decade-long turmoil and civil war that led to Kosovo's independence interrupted the judo career of a man named Drayton Tony Kuka.
I stopped my judo in 1991 and I was just 19 years old. In that time, I was one of the best in the national team, but because of politics, in that time, we stopped to compete for the national team of ex-Yugoslavia.
Drayton told this documentary from the International Judo Federation that by the time the war was over, it was too late for him to become a champion. But he had a judo dojo in his home, and he decided to try and get local kids involved in the sport.
After the war in Kosovo in 1999, then I started to pick up kids in my street, living around dojo, which is our family property, and we built it because of love for judo. My main goal in the beginning was to keep them in sport. Because, you know, the kids, they want to go out and things. I make it through the travelings. I send them in some competitions around, and they was happy to travel, to know kids from other countries. And after 3 or 4 years, I think I catch them. I was sure they will stay in judo, because judo is that kind of sport.
At his dojo, he discovered a talent named Mylinda Kelmendi and decided to get her to try and achieve the things he couldn't. Her family was also devastated by the war, but she started winning big, big trophies at international competitions.
This is the cup that I won at the World Championship in Chelyabinsk when I became the world champion for the second time. So I keep it here in my room and I watch it every morning and I think, why not? I can do it.
She then went to the Rio Games. At the time, there were four judo dojos in Kosovo. She won gold in the women's 52-kilogram category at Rio and instantly became a national hero. The president of Kosovo suddenly became a massive fan of judo. The sport exploded across the country. The number of dojos went from 4 to 20 in a country with about the same population as Perth. The popularity of the sport allowed Drayton Tony-Kuka to build up his dojo and his national team. And now at Tokyo, they have won two gold medals, and one of them wasn't for Mylinda. Two new winners, Distria Krasnick and Nora Grakova, and the sport is still growing. It's a sign of how one champion can inspire others, Fran. An incredible story and one to watch from Kosovo.
Terrific story, Matt. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Matt Bevan